Thanks, John. Good morning, everyone. Really nice to see you all. I'm Simon, member of the church here, minister in training too. And it's really good to bring a reflection today. I'm going to keep it pretty short because there's loads going on in our service today. But we wanted to ground our reflections on looking back and looking forwards in this Christmas season. So if you have got your Bibles with you, you might want to turn to Matthew chapter 2. I'm just going to read a couple of verses from Matthew chapter 2 and the journey of the wise men. So I'm just going to read Matthew chapter 2 verses 1 and 2 just for now. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." Let's just focus in on verse 2 there. "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." So as we look back at this event, this real event, this true story in history, what can we learn and how can we apply it to ourselves as we look forward? Well, first of all, where is the newborn king of the Jews? First of all, God is a God of the new. God is living, God is active, and he is doing new things. So as we look back, we see that the wise men have realized that God is doing a new thing. God is sending a newborn king. And what is God doing through this newborn king? What is this new thing that he's doing? Well, through sending of his own son, Jesus Christ, he's bringing salvation. And he's bringing the hope of new life and new relationship with himself, God the Father. See, God is doing a new thing. And as we look forward, I want us to remember that God is living, that he is real, and he is active, and he is able to do new things. And supremely, we see God stepping in a new way here through Jesus Christ to bring salvation and to bring new life and relationship with himself. And what is this new thing that he's done? Well, John summarizes it a little bit at the start of his gospel when he says, "Jesus came into the world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believe him and accept him, he has given the right to become children of God." To those who believe him and accept him, he is given the right to become children of God. As we look back into this new thing that God has done through Jesus Christ, I want us all to look forward knowing that you are children of God. If you have put your faith in Jesus Christ, you can walk forward with confidence and boldness because you are a child of the living God. Yesterday, we watched the film Barbie. Has anyone seen it? It's amazing. It's not a kid's film. Who knew? Ivy didn't have a clue what was going on most of the time, but Hannah and I were absolutely loving it. I got my Barbie collection down from my bedroom, lined them up next to me on the sofa, had a whale of a time. At the heart of this story, this film, is the fact that Ken is having an identity crisis. He doesn't know who he is and what he's made for. It's always Barbie and Ken. He has an identity crisis. Guys, as you look forwards, your identity is rooted in you being a child of God. Okay, so you don't have to walk through life with this crisis of who am I and why do I exist. And so I want you to look forward with confidence because your identity is grounded in Jesus Christ. And so that means that your life has meaning and your life has purpose. It means that every day when you wake up, you know that you are known and you are loved. It means that your life has significance. It means that you are accepted and you are valued. So I want you to walk forwards with confidence, because the new thing that Jesus has done, he's made you a child of God through your faith in him and what he has done for you. They came to see the newborn king of the Jews. God is the God of the new. Embrace the new. That's the first thing. Secondly, we saw his star as it rose. Not only is God always doing new things, but God is a God of invitation. The star is God's announcement. See, Jesus is born. The star is his invitation to the wise men to come and worship him and encounter him. God is a God of invitation. And he says to you and to everyone around you, come to me. Come to me because I love you. Come to me because I made you. Come to me because I sent my son to die in your place so that you can have a new relationship with me. God is a God of invitation. And so when we look back, we see this star. This is God announcing the arrival of Jesus. But looking forward for us, as God's children, we are now the ones that God has entrusted this message to. And so when you look forward, I want you to be the stars. To go into your workplaces and to your families and your social events. And I want you guys to be the witnesses to who God is and what he has done. He has entrusted this message to us. And so we now need to go and extend the call. Come back to God. Come home. And so the star is God's invitation. And we are now to go and shine like stars and extend God's invitation to those around us. Jesus said to his followers in Matthew 10, "What I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the rooftops." This is the most wonderful news. Guys, let's go and share it with those around us. And do you notice where the star leads? Later on in chapter 2. The star went ahead of the wise men and stopped over the place where the child was. Where does the star lead? To Jesus. Guys, the star always leads to Jesus. And I want you to walk forward with a depth of conviction in your faith, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. In Acts chapter 4, Peter and John are before the council, and they're disturbed. The council are disturbed because God is doing all these miracles through them. And they're like, what is going on? And Peter says, "Let me clearly state to you, and to all the people of Israel, that this person was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ, the man you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. For Jesus is the one referred to in the scriptures, the stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone." Here's the key. Are you listening? There is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. Jesus Christ, the star leads to Jesus. Guys, extend the call. Salvation is found in no one else. Hannah and I used to be a part of a Christian choir and orchestra called NEO, New English Orchestra. And we went on musical missions around Europe. And we were performed in places like Rome and Salzburg. And one of the songs that we always used to perform was "Jesus is the Answer." and it had such a profound impact on our audiences. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the way. Guys, the people around you need to know this. So go and extend the call. So that's the second thing. And finally, the third thing. Lost my place now. Matthew chapter 2. We saw the star as it rose, and we have come to worship him. We have come to worship him. What did the wise men do when they came to Jesus? Well, first of all, they were filled with great joy. And in verse 11, they entered the house and they saw the child with the mother Mary. They bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Looking back, we see the response of the wise men to Jesus is worship. The response of the wise men to Jesus is worship. And they opened their treasure chests and they gave of their riches to him. Looking forwards, I want to encourage you to open your treasure chests and bring to Jesus your wholehearted love and devotion and worship. Why on earth would we do that? Well, Paul summarizes it when he writes to the Corinthian church. And this verse is in the context of the Corinthian church losing a little bit of their early enthusiasm in their generosity. They used to be like really, really generous. They were just giving of everything that they had for the sake of God and for the sake of his kingdom and for the sake of their mission. And Paul's trying to encourage them to refind their enthusiasm and their generosity in their giving. And this is the reason that Paul gives as to why they should do that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, you know the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, for your sakes, he became poor, so that by his poverty he could make you rich. Guys, this is why we bring our wholehearted worship and love and adoration to Jesus. Because Jesus left all of his riches in his eternal throne of glory. He left that and stepped into our broken world in poverty. And he left it to make you rich. And so let's bring our riches and give them to Jesus in worship. Open your treasure chests. Looking forward, I want to encourage you to give your everything for Jesus. Open your treasure chests and give your best to him, whatever that might mean or look like for you.